Just say we appreciate everybody being here tonight. I always appreciate you coming and being with the Lord. There's quite a number of them that's come by and told me that they have seen the new coach that we bought. And really, it's not a new coach. It's an 81 model. It's a Vogue, and it's 35 feet long. We bought it so far, we haven't bought it strictly by faith. And haven't changed hands with a penny of money. Let's give the Lord a hand. Said He gave you the desires of your heart. I know some of you skeptics don't believe that. Let's give the Lord another hand. I can feel you settle up, you know. It's true anyhow. As a matter of fact, when I bought it like that, my Joseph, he told me, said, said, I felt like that if you could go get a coach, I'd just get me one. So later he was telling somebody, he said, I called everybody in the book. Couldn't get nobody to do it. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, so it don't work like that, does it? But I did tell Joe, I said, Joe, I'll pray with you if you'll set your heart on whatever you want. Give it to God and let your heart be on God instead of the thing, just as to use it for the Lord. So he set his heart on one, and we prayed for him, and God worked it out. And unless Joe does something wrong, he'll get it. Let's give the Lord another. So I said, we'll set our faith for that one, Joe. I remember here a long time ago when we bought a coach, and some of them wanted coaches, and each one asked if we'd set our heart toward God for them to get a coach, and we did, and one right after another got a coach. I don't know, but one person that failed to get their coach, and I told somebody that they wasn't right with God. I saw them in a vision trying to stab me in the back, and today they're gone. They're not here. They left. I told them they didn't have the Spirit. But anyway, the Lord will bless, and He'll always do something for you if you will let Him do something for you. God worked out a good deal on this coach for us. And as a matter of fact, that coach now knew that Vogue, new, 35 feet. It cost, I believe it's a little over $250,000 of the same coach, the same design, same body design. And the 40 feet, I believe, sells for $320,000 or $30,000. But anyway, it's a good coach for the road, and we can use it for the glory of God around the tent. And these ladies just about smothered me to death in that little coach I had. I'd get back there in the back in the hot summertime in that one tiny little room. And there wasn't even room to get off the bed, and I'd stay right there for hours and hours and hours and hours, and they would visit and talk. And I couldn't get out of there. Didn't have no back door to it. And I have been so wet with sweat that I could have wrung it out of my shirt, I guess. But this one's a little bigger, and the ladies can visit all they want to in the front when Betty's talking to them, doing the tent meetings or whatever, and it's not crowded for them to be up there, and it won't bother me in the back because I've got a good size room that I can shut off back there. The only thing is, it would be nice if we made back doors to those things to where you could get in and out. But as to the room, it's got plenty of room in it. I thank the Lord for it. I praise God for one or two that's come by and said to me, Brother Pike, I really genuinely appreciate the fact that God has given you that. And I'm just glad. Brother Gilbert came by this evening. He was one of them. And said, this is really nice. I'm so glad that you got it. All right, chapter 12. Let's read from verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these will bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not. Itself is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? Or even things without life, giving sound, whether piped or harped, except to give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? But thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all of that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. And let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. But let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, that's reading quite a bit of scripture. I want to get over a thought or two there. First of all, I'd like for you to consider what Paul says here. Though you have all these gifts, though you do all these great things, he said, if you have not charity, it profiteth you nothing. Now, what does he mean that it profiteth you nothing if you do all of these things? Though you have gifts of prophecy, gifts of faith, gifts of many things, but he said it will not take you to heaven, neither will God receive you, neither have you accomplished anything. You are not a Christian if you don't have charity. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's what he's saying. It profiteth you nothing with all of your ability. It's like Balaam. Balaam could fall into a trance with his eyes open, see the Lord, and he could prophesy, and his prophecies would come to pass as to blessing or to cursing. But the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness, and God had him killed because of his iniquity. He did not have charity, and it did profit him nothing. All right, so then we see that charity is something special. Then we say, what does Paul mean? He goes on down to say, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And he said, all of these things are in part, whether it be miracles, whether it be prophecy, whether it be knowledge, whatever it might be. He said, these things are a part of God and a part of the operation of God, whether it be discernment or whatever you might have. He said, but charity, that's different. He said, now all these other things are in part.
And when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. And he said, now when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part is done away, or done away with, as we say. So then, what does he mean when that which is perfect is come? He is saying when charity comes. When charity comes. That's why he said that, you know, covet a gift. And he named all of these gifts. And then he said, let me show unto you a more excelling way, a more excellent way, a better way. He said, follow after charity. Not after gifts, but after charity. Desire gifts, but follow after charity. Why did he say that? He said, because charity is the bond of perfection. When that which is perfect is come, when perfection is come. That's why we preach that under the law, it was the law and the prophets until perfection. And when Jesus came, he was God, and God is love, and it was love made manifest in the flesh. God the Word made a human being. So then when love came, or when the love of God was manifested, in that the Bible says that in this we see the love of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Or that is to say, God himself, as God, being love, came forth, manifested himself in a human form called sonship, and went to Calvary and gave his blood out of the blood veins to show you what love is. That was charity, a sacrificial, unselfish love without reservation. He gave himself completely. This is love. Like the songwriter said, and if this isn't love, then the ocean is dry and the sparrow can't fly. If this isn't love, there's no feeling like this, and heaven's amiss if this isn't love. Speaking of Jesus, but actually gave the blood from the blood veins to show us love. So he was love. He was manifested love. And he was our example. And the Bible said we should follow in his steps, who did no evil, neither was guile found in his mouth. And they said of this man that we find in him no fault. That's what makes it so rich and so wonderful, that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said members in particular here. And it is because of one Spirit, even the God Spirit, that we are unionized or drawn together. As my spirit goes into my arms, my head, my feet, my eyes, whatever it might be, that one Spirit is the life of all the members of my body, and my body is joined together by that one Spirit of life. And should that Spirit of life withdraw even from my arm would deteriorate and would no longer be with the body. And so then we're baptized, all of us are baptized into one body by one Spirit. That is, we are made to be this one body, whether we be here or throughout the world. We are made to be this one body of Jesus Christ by the great God Spirit that goes into each member wherever they're at. And we are unionized and joined together, drawn together in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body under one head, even the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the head of the church. So we see this great wonderful thing and how that God uses the members of the body that does seem to be less honorable. But we bestow upon them the greater honor. And a lot of times they're used in such a way that it's almost secular as to the way that we're used. But yet they are part of the body. And he goes on down to tell us that everything should be done decently and in order in the church. And that we should come together with thanksgiving and praise, and we should have a doctrine, we should have a tongue, we should have an interpretation, we should have a revelation. And it tells us that this way the church is edified. And this, of course, is the reason that I teach that speaking in tongues is not the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Common teaching among Pentecost is that it is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. And I taught that in my early life. I believed that. I thought that's the way it was. I understood that. But when I got into the ministry and began to search the scriptures, I found out that isn't right. See, that isn't right. You may speak in tongues, but that is not the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Whoever taught that, wherever they got it, I don't know, because they didn't get it from the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that says anything about being initial. There's no such teaching as initial. It just speaks of the tongues here, and the Bible teaches that on the day of Pentecost, all of them come together speaking in tongues. And the Pentecostals in general gets this from that gathering on the day of Pentecost, and they call themselves Pentecostal, and that's fine, and speaking in tongues is fine, but when you go to teaching people that they can get to heaven speaking in tongues, then you have misinterpreted the Bible and you're teaching false doctrine, because that isn't right at all. See, the real sign of God in your heart is charity. And the Bible says here that greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues. That means that if a man prophesies and he's greater than a man that's speaking in tongues, then the man that's prophesying is greater than the man that's got the Holy Ghost, because he had the initial evidence by speaking in tongues. So you know there's not going to be any days like that. See, as the Holy Ghost, that's the greatest thing you can get, and that's the greatest you can be. So that altogether proves there that you couldn't be right about an initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Should we speak in tongues? We should speak in tongues. If there's an interpreter, we should speak out. I've spoken tongues. I prayed that I could interpret. I've interpreted. And the Bible said if you have an interpreter, then just speak in tongues, or let somebody speak and let the other interpret. I've interpreted where other people spoke in tongues. But on the other hand, the Bible said greater is he that prophesieth unless there is an interpreter. So if you have an interpreter, that makes you equal to the man that's prophesying, because you're speaking unto edification and the church is edified. I've said this to you before. I never realized what Paul meant about speaking in tongues until I went into a foreign country as to this one thing. He said, how can he that occupieth the corner or the place of the unlearned say amen, seeing he understands not what thou sayest? And being in some foreign countries and hearing people speak, and even in church in their own language, I thought, well, I can't say amen to that. I don't know what he's saying. And it made me to understand what Paul was saying. So he said, if you speak in tongues, don't quench the Spirit, because it is the Spirit speaking to God, and you are getting an edification directly from you to God. See, and if you do speak in tongues, just speak under a low voice and worship God and speak in tongues. As a matter of fact, today I was speaking in tongues praying. I do that a lot of times in praying, whereas Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Which meant when he was praying, his spirit communication with God. He said, but in the church, it's different. We're trying to do things under edification. Whereas I speak in tongues, when I'm praying, I am edified. And that's the proper things to do. But now in church, the proper thing to do is do something that will edify in the church. Because if you speak in the church and it's in tongues, it don't edify the church. They don't get anything at all out of it. All right, he said, you're doing well. Another thing is, when you say that tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, you're going back to part. And it very positively points out here that that could not be. For it says, as it is written in the law, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all of that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. For in the law of the prophets it says, with stammering lips and other tongues shall I speak unto this people. That is, it is a sign to the unbeliever. I remember when I got stammering lips before I ever spoke in tongue. And my lips is going blah, 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 like that, until the Spirit of God began to move and open my mouth, and I began to speak in strange languages that I didn't understand. See, but it says, with stammering lips and other tongues shall I speak unto this people, and for all of this, saith the Lord, they still won't hear me. So then Paul refers back to it, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all of that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. You know, I know people that speak in tongues that don't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody would say, well, you don't believe that's the Holy Ghost? A lot of times it is the Holy Ghost when they're speaking in tongues, but it's the rain upon the unjust. And it's stammering lips and other tongues that he's speaking. It is God pouring out his Spirit upon them. See, but that doesn't mean they have the Holy Ghost. They speak in other tongues and they're counted as Pentecostal people, and they're counted as the cream of the crop, and they do things that Baptist folks wouldn't even do. that don't even profess the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Whereas there are Baptist people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, just like there are Pentecostals. But anyway, it says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. See, how can I preach to you that tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost unless I am saying to you that this is the sign of the believer? When you see a person speak in tongues, then you know that that's a believer. And the Bible said this is not a sign to them that believe. It is not a sign. It is a sign to the unbeliever. With stammering lips and other tongues, the unbeliever shall see these things and marvel at them and not understand these things. And the Bible said even this, the angels desire to look into, and they cannot understand this because they don't know this kind of thing. But we do. See, it is a direct edification to our spirit. And we do understand. That's why we can interpret. So then it's not for a sign to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But now prophesying is a sign to them that believe. So then someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that means that when you prophesy, that's the sign of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. No more than tongues. Prophesying is still in part. Charity, the Bible says that love is the sign of the infilling of the Spirit. Love is as strong as death. The Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life because we love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are a Christian or my disciple, that ye have love one to another. That is, that you have a sacrificial, charitable attitude toward your fellow man, toward the lost, toward all of them that are in desperation of life. That is the proof of Christianity, for God is love. And if you don't have that inside of you, the child is known by his doing, it means you don't have anything. It's not. The Bible said, without charity, it profiteth you nothing. So then it's like I asked a man one time, I said, do you believe that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost? He said, yeah. He said, I believe that, because he was Pentecostal. And that's fine. But the thing is, when we finished our little conversation, I could tell that he was wondering what was happening. I could tell that even though he was staunch in his doctrine and conviction, yet he began to wonder in his mind. Because he realized the things that I brought forward prove positively that that could not be right. See, the Bible said the wise man built his house upon the rock. And the Bible said, who is a rock? But our God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the rock. And the rock came forth, and the rock said to Peter, upon this rock, Jesus said as he spoke of himself, I will build my church. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, but upon this rock the Spirit spoke. As to Jesus, the rock, the unmovable one, the only unmovable one. For the Bible said, and this little stone was hewed out of the mountain, not made with hands, and it came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world, and grew till it filled all of the earth, which is the edifying as to the revelating of himself. Of the revelation of Jesus Christ is expanding and ballooning throughout the entire world. And the Bible says that even the heavens declare his handiwork. Even the stars, the moon, the sky, the sea, everything is filled with the knowledge of the Lord. It is an allegoric type. And if you can look beyond the shadows, beyond the veil, then you can see this wonderful thing of God and see what God is doing, for the heavens declare his handiwork. Even in the days of Enoch, the Bible teaches that Enoch was translated by faith. And the way that he was translated by faith, the heavens declared the handiwork. And the Bible said even there, the Scripture preached unto Abraham and preached unto Enoch. Even before the Scripture, which means the Word, became ascribing as to a scripture that was put in a book. So we see how wonderful it is to have understanding. To get understanding, the Bible said it's better than gold and silver. Call it your kinsman. Call it your kinsman and make understanding your choice in life, that you might have understanding. With wisdom, get understanding. Pray as Solomon of old, Father, give me an understanding heart. For the Bible said, when good comes, the wicked shall not understand. That's the thing that cuts the wicked off. But the Bible said that the righteous shall understand. And the Bible says that he'll comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this great wonderful things, to the enlightening of his understanding to comprehend. Father, grant unto us the spirit of revelation, the Bible tells us. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Alright, so then when I talked to this fellow about speaking in tongues, all of a sudden he suddenly realized that he was wrong. See, he saw that speaking in tongues wasn't the initial evidence, even though he couldn't conceive of it because of the indoctrination he'd had down through life, and he would have wrecked his faith, he would have made his faith shipwreck if he'd have tried to switch over to it. You know, when you hear something that's good and something that's rich and something that's outstanding, you can't just switch over to it. What you have to do is just kind of lay it on the shelf, as we say, don't come against it. Don't degrade it in your thoughts. Don't cast it out of your mind. If it's the Word of God, just lay it aside to this extent that you're going to listen and listen until you can understand what it is telling you or what it means. You know, like a cow that'll eat all day long. The cow will eat grass. All day long it eats grass. And then over in the evening it'll lay down and it'll chew the cud. That's the way to do it, the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. The Bible tells us that we should study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. So then we eat, and we eat of the things of God, and then we chew the cud. That is, we meditate in the laws of God. We talk to God. And we're praying, and we're chewing on these things, as we say. Something to chew on, someone would say. And we chew on these things, and after a while it turns into delicious nourishment for our body to give us strength, and we begin to see the thing revelate before us, and we realize how wonderful it is, the words of God, how beautiful they are. So I tell you all these things to help you that when you run into the crisis and you run into these minds that seems to be so much of a genius and people that seem to be such great Bible scholars that you can give them the word test. And let the mind of God try their spirit. The Bible said try the spirits. And the way you do that is by the mind of Christ. When you get the word in you, it develops the mind of Christ in you. And then you try their mind or their spirit by the word of God. And see if they are in error. If they are in error, then you'll know it. Because light will show up darkness. And when it shows up the darkness, then you know that that's Lucifer. For the Bible said God hath not given us the spirit of error. So then try the spirits, not to know a man after the flesh, after scholarship, after money, after the different things of life, or how he looks at what he is, or the way he speaks as an orator, but know him after the spirit. Find out what kind of spirit he's got, and if he isn't the right kind of person, though he be greatly religious, have no fellowship with him. And the Bible said, withdraw thyself from every brother that walks disorderly. Have no fellowship with them that they may be ashamed. So that which is perfect is love, the bond of perfectness. I say this, that if I tell you that you can go to heaven by speaking in tongues, then I have placed tongues above the gift of the Holy Ghost. I have actually put tongues above the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you wouldn't understand that unless I take time to explain it. But I actually placed tongues above the gift of the Holy Ghost. The thing that caused the man to get into such a tailspin, as we said. I said, well, you believe that a man has to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. He said, I do. I said, do you believe that a man has to have the Holy Ghost to be a Christian or go to heaven? Whereas I knew that was their doctrine. He said, I do. I said, then that means to me one thing, that you teach salvation by tongues. And he looked at me kind of strange. I said, I teach salvation by faith. I teach that a man is saved by the grace of God through faith by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't know what to say. He didn't know how to answer me. Because If you say that a man has to have the infilling of the Spirit, and that the Bible said if you have not God's Spirit, you're none of His. And if you say that a man has to have the infilling of the Spirit, as to the infilling or baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you say that he can't have it unless he speaks in tongues, and do you say that he can't go to heaven unless he does have the Holy Ghost, and that to have the Holy Ghost he has to speak in tongues, then it doesn't matter whether he believes or not. Though he may be a believer, it doesn't matter. See, what difference does it make if he believes? You say that he can't go to heaven unless he speaks in tongues. Isn't that right? Now, a lot of times you hear me say that a man might be a believer, but he still don't have the Holy Ghost. You ever heard me say that? See, he might be a believer. The Bible said if you believe, the devil believes. See, but there's a difference between believing and having faith. You know, you can believe anything, just like the devil. Does the devil have faith because he believes? If he had faith, wouldn't he be saved? For the Bible said, God is not no respect of person, and what I say to one, I say to all. You know, and if the devil could have faith, wouldn't he have salvation? Wouldn't faith save him? See, the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto salvation. And faith is of the heart. Believing can be of the head, but faith is of the heart. So then we teach that a man is saved by faith. Though I speak with tongues, as Paul said, perhaps more than any of you in here, perhaps I speak in tongues more than you do. But still, that is not what brings a man salvation. It is faith in God that brings a man salvation. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, tell me this. Do you believe that a person that is a Christian, do you believe, if you don't believe that they have to speak in tongues to be a Christian, do you believe that they can speak in tongues? Of course they can. Anybody that's got the Holy Ghost can speak in tongues. Sure. Somebody would say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying that anybody that's got the Holy Ghost can work a miracle. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody says, well, now, if everybody that is a Christian that's got the Holy Ghost can speak in tongues, and I believe God wants them to speak in tongues. I believe God means for them to speak in tongues. Well, everybody that's got the Holy Ghost can interpret. Everybody that's got the Holy Ghost can prophesy. Everybody that's got the Holy Ghost can work a miracle. Everybody that's got the Holy Ghost can do all these great and mighty things. So then, if that be so, then God expects everybody to go around working miracles. Let's give the Lord another hand. So then we make miracles. We say if you cannot work a miracle, then you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you cannot work a miracle, you cannot be a Christian. For miracles is now the initial evidence of being a Christian. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, so we see how ignorant that is and how far off we can get with those kind of things. Those kind of things are in part. That is the act of love in you. The Bible said, gifts many operations, but one Spirit. So if it's one Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, then that one Spirit of Christ that speaks in tongues, He also interprets. He also works miracles. He also does all of these other things. See, and those things, that is a manifestation of the Spirit within you to profit with all, that people may see in part as each member is functioning accordingly as to showing the love and grace of God. See, but the real truth of salvation is my believing toward Christ, that He may bring His Spirit in my heart, purifying my heart, not by speaking in tongues, but by faith. For the Bible said, the pure in heart shall see God. See, like in the Old Testament, take the Old Testament for instance. I look back here and I see the days of Adam, and I see Godship. I see that is before he fell. And then I see the days of Enoch, and I see Godship. And I see the days of Abraham, and I see Godship. And I see the days of Samson, and I see the days of Elijah, and the days of Moses, and on down, and I see Godship. But what do I see in those people? I see a part of God. But the Bible teaches that We all are a part of God. We are memberships, even as they were back there under the law. See, though they were not a part of the body of the Lord Jesus, so far as the life of God being in them, but they were illuminated by the life as the first man Adam. But in the second man Adam, we're not illuminated by the life, we're born of the life. And that's why the Bible said, greater is he that is in the Lord Jesus as sonship, as a member of the body, than John, even though there's none greater of the Old Testament than John. So then he that has the Spirit of God on the inside, he is bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh of the very body itself, members in particular. And John and the others, they died under the law, not having received the promise, but seeing it afar off and embraced it, even though John introduced it. See, but the thing is, I'm saying that all those people back there, that was an act of God. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I'll say, we'll take, Abraham, for instance. There was the act of God in Abraham's life. What was this act of God? Faithfulness. We saw the faithfulness of God to a cause. Even to giving his son, Abraham did, offered his son up. See, and become the friend of God, to show us God offering his son up. That was the faithfulness of loyalty toward God's creation. Now, then when we saw Samson, here comes Samson, and we saw the strength of God, how that God is so great and mighty that when the Spirit of God come upon Samson, he just reached and got a lion and just rent the lion. And we see the strength of God in humanity as Samson got those pillars and pushed on those huge pillars, and the whole thing tumbled down on his enemy. See, and in David, we saw in David this great, wonderful courage in David. David was a man that was so courageous. He faced the lion, he faced the bear, he faced the giant. He was so courageous, just a shepherd boy. But we see the courage of God. And all down through the years in these figures, we see God, our great God, proportionally by measure, manifesting his greatness to the world, that we might see God in every member of his activity of those great men of old. And in the New Testament, it's the same way. See, it's the same way. So here it is now. It's our day and your day. And now he said that ye should contend for the faith, and that ye should covet a gift, and ye should go on to perfection, that is to develop charity in you. You should go on to these things so that you could have a gift, that you should not be complacent in the church just saying, I'm a Christian and I got God and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and that's what it is and that's what it's all about. You can't say that. He said you are to go on, you're to desire to be used of God, and you're to desire a gift, and you are to covet a gift, and you're not to be some kind of a fly-by-night sort of a thing to lift yourself up over the prophet or some kind of thing like that, or saying, I can work miracles. That's not the way it is at all. You're to go to God in prayer, and you're to go to God and develop charity in your life and keep loving God and walking with God and loving God as Enoch did. He walked with God over 300 years, and the Bible said it was not for God took him. You keep walking with God, fellowshipping God, loving God, and after a while, something begins to come forth. You'll just be out there on the bench, just sitting there, and the Spirit of God will begin to move, and all of a sudden something will hit you like that, and you can't stay on that seat. You'll come out and something will be like that, the verbal inspiration of God, and that thing will be going through you like 440 volts, and you'll open your mouth and something will just come out. Like the prophets of old, one prophet said, I purpose in my heart, I wouldn't say anything. I just wasn't going to say anything, he said. And about that time, the power of God hit him, and he opened his mouth, and he couldn't do anything but prophesy. I remember going down the road one day, a friend of mine and I, riding down the road, and always just talking about the Lord, and talking about the Lord, having a good time, and all of a sudden, the power of God fell in that car, and that boy, he whipped that car over to the side. I bounced out on the side, and something seized me and seized him, and I was just standing there praising God, speaking in tongues on the side of the road. And I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. I could just feel that verbal inspiration so great. It was just driving me like that until I just couldn't stop. I didn't care. You know, I know the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, but not the Spirit of God. Let's give the Lord a hand so that you don't misunderstand. David said, when the Spirit of God come upon him, he run through a troop and leaped over a wall. Samson, When this great anointing come upon Samson, he reached and got a jawbone of an ass and plowed through 1,000 men, killed 1,000 men. His strength was so great and mighty that he plowed through 1,000 men, killed every last one of them with the jawbone of an ass. And stood there almost perishing to death for water and looked up to God and said, after this great victory, I perish from thirst. And all of a sudden, water came out of the jawbone. Now, I say again, why did that happen? It came out of the jawbone to let us know that that was the act of God. That wasn't Samson's natural strength. The honey, the parable, all of those things have to do with Jesus, as to the slaying of the lion, as to Satan and going back and out of that body where Jesus came as in the image of sin. And when Christ, the inner, smote the outer and the veil was rent in two, it was out of there that came the revelation of Jesus Christ of what John saw, or the covenant, the ark of the covenant behind that veil of Jesus. Out came this honey. Honey in the rock. And he was the rock. Which reminds me, some bees is building honey in the house down here, the big house. Must be some kind of significance because they gave us bees when we were first coming here, honeybees. And one of our black brothers took them over here to his place. But anyway, it was like the jawbone of an ass. As we say, Golgotha's Calvary, the place of a skull, and out poured the water. Or out of thine innermost being comes rivers of living water. It pours out unto you and I. The wonderful waters of God, the wonderful river of life. So then, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away. Someone said, well, you mean we don't ever speak in tongues anymore? We don't work any miracles anymore? We don't do these things anymore? No, that's not what it means. When it says in part is done away, it means that part is swallowed up in perfection. You know, I'm hammering. I'm over here. I'm holding a board. Part has come. I'm holding the board. Isn't that right? And then after a while, I raise up my other hand and I'm nailing a nail in the board. Then I'm working together. My eyes are looking. My mind is thinking. My hand is holding. The other hand is hammering. And my feet are holding me up. And the energy I got in the intestinal activity is putting everything in it to nail a nail in that board. Perfection has come. And all my parts have been swallowed up in the one activity as to my goal and ultimatum. So it is with God that when that which is perfect is come, as to charity, God is love, and we emanate from love, and every component of our body, every part of our body, as to even our entrails on the inside, organic part, all of it was created by God. We emanated from love. We come together in love, and we're baptized into one unit as a union of nation, a unionization of love, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's stand together. We could say a lot tonight, but I read quite a bit of scripture before I got this for along. So that which is perfect, that is what we're looking for. Let us go on to perfection. Go on to be made perfect in love. The Bible said, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. This is why the Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. David's courage proved that his heart was perfect. And he made the statement that my ways do not please thee, but my heart is perfect before thee. My heart is fixed, and evil tidings shall not trouble me. That is, I don't have any fear. And so then, your ways may not please God because we are born of the Holy Spirit on the inside, sealed in the inner spirit with Christ as to the inner man, but our ways on the outside, we are developing from childhood, and we're growing day by day into the things of God, and more like Jesus, and more like Jesus, and more like Jesus. And when, as we go along, we stumble and we stagger, not because we allow for it, not because we practice iniquity, not because we go out there and put ourselves in that kind of position. We're trying with all of our life, all of our heart, all of our strength to be perfect. But it's like the little child. He's trying with all of his strength to pull up and stand. But that is the measure of his strength. Sometimes he falls. Sometimes daddy and mother has to help him up. See, but when he grows a little older, he can try a little harder. And as he grows a little bigger, he can be a little more stable. And on, it's the measure of his strength, the measure of his life. And that life has been made manifest until he comes to the fullness of manhood. And then he stands up like a man then. Because he can stand the task of the daily need, whatever is necessitated to life. He can meet the demands of life because he is now man and he has his full strength. All right, let's pray. Praise the Lord in song. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. We're always glad to have you here. I wonder if this is Bill's little girl here. Thought it looked like her. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild sea no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. Oh, I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Day.
I'm near His sweet voice, and don't turn Him away.
Let's sing this chorus, Sister Dale.
Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to my heart.
Your heavy load will lie, and your days will brighten when you
come a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord.
Your heavy load
will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, head bending low, trouble in my soul, looking for the day it would end. An old-time preacher came a-calling one day from the good book, read a few words. Now I can say there's nothing in my world. I came a little closer to the Lord. Oh, come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Oh, come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. One more time. So
come a little closer, just a little closer,
oh,
a little closer to the Lord.
Your heavy
load will lighten, and your days will brighten
when you come a little closer to the Lord.
Let's give Him another hand.
When I think of how He came so far from glory, just to dwell among the lowly such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself the question, who am I?
Sing that with me.
Who am I that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I
that would pray, not my
will thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, the reason why to an old rugged cross to go.
For who am I?
For who am
I that a king would bleed and die for?
Can you sing that with us?
Not
I
mine,
will not
will
thine, Lord. The answer I may never
gold, for who am I?
You love the Lord. God is always with us, helping us. And as we go along through life, we get more acquainted with Him. Then we realize how great His love is. And then I find myself, like the songwriter, asking, Lord, who am I? Who am I? Thank Thee for the valley I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. I found Thee with the lilies a-blooming by the way. And I thank Thee for the valley I walk through today. Thank Thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank Thee for every lonely night I prayed till I knew all right. And I thank Thee for the valley I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, all the flowers would die, the rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, are there be no need to pray. So I thank Thee for the valley I walk through today. Thank I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. And I thank Thee for the valley I walk through today. Where will you be a million years from now? Sing that with us. Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question. Just one life to live on earth, and still it passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide a destiny in a million years. Where will you be?
Sing it with me now.
Where will you be?
Oh. a million years from now,
will you be happy? Will you be singing? Are the ages I ask this question, where will you be? Across the bridge, there's no sorrow.
Can you sing that with us?
Across the bridge.
While the sun's gone high across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life we'll live in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I've met my Savior on the way. I asked Him for a place to stay.
Let's give the Lord another hand. Sing another chorus.
When I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the clouds won't let sunshine through, seems I hear a voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet heaven's view.
Sing it with us now.
You've got one more valley,
one more hill.
Got
one more tear,
one more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home.
Sing it again.
You've got
one more valley,
one more hill. Got one more tear.
One more curve
in life's road.
May
one more mile to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home.
Let's lift our eyes up to heaven, our hearts up to heaven, our hands up to heaven. Close our eyes and let's sing together, "I Will Praise Thee." I'm going to ask Brother Rick Banks to come and dismiss us as we sing this together.
And I will praise Him, my will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and will
together now.